In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people. Stir up Sunday. The church year is coming to an end today, and as it does so, we ask God to wake us up, to shake us up. And it's part of the whole preparation for the Advent season, which is to come. Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which means arrival and coming. It is a season of the church year where we focus on the issue of time. We first focus on the past as we prepare to celebrate together the great event of the Incarnation. God, in the fullness of time, chooses to come among us, to live and to die, and to rise to new life in order that it might be made possible for you and I to have the very gates of heaven become our permanent home. But we don't just look back at the Incarnation. Advent invites us to take stock of the present, to ask ourselves, where are we today in our walk with Christ? Jesus is alive. The grave could not hold him. And his desire is that each of us would follow him and place our trust in him. Advent comes as a gift to us to take spiritual inventory of our lives. And if we determine our spiritual discipline, our prayer life, our study of God's holy word are lacking somewhat, God invites us to rededicate ourselves and renew our commitment to him. Advent also looks to the future, to the second coming of God. Christ will come again in power and great glory to judge the world and to put all things under his rule. This morning from Matthew's Gospel, we read the parable of the Last Judgment. Now let me say first and foremost that this story has the potential to mislead us if it is taken as an isolated story about salvation. We all know that salvation is not earned by virtue of our good works. We cannot save ourselves by what we do. Salvation is through putting our trust in God's redemptive work on the cross, through Jesus' death and resurrection. Having said this, today's gospel is about God's clarion call to all Christians to live our lives as Jesus lived his life. Namely, to live in such a way that when we see human need, we reach out and offer a helping hand. To feed the hungry, to care for the homeless, to clothe the naked, to care for the sick, to visit the prisoner. This is what our Lord did, and the Christian life is a call to emulating that. And the power and the surprise of the story, the wonderful surprise of the story, is what Jesus said, "Because you have done this to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me." Wow! That is a remarkable thing to realize, that every time we do an act of kindness to someone, we're doing it to Jesus. We're caring for him by making the world a lovelier place. But conversely, Jesus also warned that when we see human need and do not respond, we are failing not only the person in need, but we are failing God, who loves them. All of this is to say something wonderful. God has high expectations of his people. Show me a parent who doesn't have high expectations of their children. It's amazing what parents will do to try to see their children succeed. So it shouldn't surprise us that God expects great things from those who believe. And so we can't compartmentalize our faith. What we do here this morning in worshiping God ends, and we're sent back into that ugly, sometimes, world we live in so vividly and graphically shown in Egypt this week. But God expects our belief in him to change us, to make us kinder, more loving, more willing to sacrifice for others. And if his love that we celebrate here doesn't change who we are on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, then maybe one might doubt whether we've received his love or not. And maybe, just maybe, this is why Jesus in this parable can say that based on whether we see human need and act on it or choose to ignore it, can tip the world off about our salvation. Because if you really believe in Jesus Christ, you will see human need and try to respond it. Now, as we move towards Christmas, the mailbox gets fuller and fuller with the requests from wonderful people doing wonderful things, all of which deserve financial support. And none of us can do that. But all of us can know of a friend who's going through a rough time and just needs someone to care. Next Sunday we will gather and we will have an Advent wreath and we'll light the first candle as a sign that Jesus is indeed the light of the world. And every week we'll add another candle as we move ever closer to the incarnation. The light shines in the world's darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then we'll gather at Christmas to celebrate the greatest event ever known to mankind. God taking upon himself flesh that we might take upon ourselves eternal love. All we need to do is receive it more and more each day. It's not easy, which is a strange thing to say, but in our brokenness and in our fallenness and in our self-centeredness, which Paul spoke so eloquently of always, he always said, "My life is a struggle. The very things I know I should do, I don't do. The very things I know I shouldn't do are the things I do. Woe am I." We always fight against the old Adam. No matter how far along we are, there are forces working against our deepening our faith. And Satan loves nothing more than to divert the person striving to live the Christian life. In the book of Revelation came a wonderful invitation from God. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." What a wonderful invitation. Sharing a meal with someone you love is as good as it gets. That's what our Lord offers to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.